Someone just said last Sunday, a visitor to our church who's been 8 years in the church, and she was telling me about her first experience in the church. And then I got to shut up because, you know, more questions and we have to go. I know people think this way, but I never heard anybody say it. And she said she went to two funerals at an ethnic parish, and she said, I just loved the service. And so I picked up all that literature that they had in the vestibule. I took it home and I read it, and I called my neighbor who invited me to church for the funerals. And I said, you know, I want to become Orthodox. I want to become this, and I want to join your church. And they actually said to her, the neighbor said, you can't, because you're not, I'll say blank. And so so that person called Father Lawrence Margidich and asked the same question. He said, what? You know, and, you know, the rest of the story unfolded. But why did I digress with that? Because there was something very, very important about that. And I can't remember what. I'm so sorry. That means it's time to take the next question, and then we end. Meaningful? No. What? Anyhow, there was a. Yes.
I'm not sure if it's appropriate for now. Just go on if you wish. But St. Paul, being a Pharisee, was a master liturgist of sorts. At least he was sensitive. And when it reports that in his missionary journeys he was putting churches in order, are these the issues that he was addressing?
Well, he made that statement. I remember in liturgics class, I had Archbishop Kiprian Borisevich as my liturgics professor. And I can't tell you how many times the Kiprian would always quote St. Paul, let all things be done decently and in order. But he had another agenda for that. In other words, that means you don't do anything, or you don't not do anything unless I tell you. But that was his translation of that. But yes, okay. Yeah, Mother Sophie?
Yeah, I have. When we started out the talk, and you mentioned the differences in our culture and how we perceive words differently, and how, you know, obviously we're living in the 21st century now, and we know about computers and we know nothing about growing potatoes. But so obviously, you know, we're different people. However, what we did mention, and maybe you care to add talk about this a little bit, that for us as Christians, it's necessary to acquire the spirit of the fathers, precisely so that we can understand the epistles.
Now that's okay. That sounds so good. I mean, wasn't everybody in the whole world would say amen to that, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Like who would dare not say amen to that? But what does that mean? Like, what is, you know, and that's not a rhetorical question. Like, what does that mean, to acquire the spirit of love? Like, what is that, how does that flesh out? Like the young child in the flesh. How does that flesh out about acquiring the spirit? Like, what does that really mean?
It means going to church, reading it means trying to live the life of a Christian.
Okay.
Reading the fathers. Trying to just find their mindset through reading the fathers.
I guess that's certainly a place to begin. I remember Father Tarazi always saying, like, what do you do about scripture? Well, you read it. Like, you first begin by... seriously. He was dead serious. Like, first you have to actually read it, not just read books about it or what. You have to actually read it. And... yeah, that's a starting place. Although the liturgy is not always self-evident, I've seen. By the way, The Romanian liturgy, what I went to, was one of the most wonderful things. But there was a shocking thing about the liturgy. I bet, John, you could guess what it was. Nobody went to communion over 7 years old. And it was packed with people. Because, you know, they have a rule, you have to fast for X amount of days in a row before that. And that's that. And
they would call that being reminded of
the monk. That's being traditional. And it would be very hard. Some of us have had discussions or arguments about that, and it boiled down to, well, you have your tradition, we have our tradition. All think about yours, and you better respect mine. That's usually how that discussion ends. It's interesting because why am I saying that? It's because even there were things done at that liturgy which I was kind of surprised at. Like, for example, the prayers were done audibly. And especially what's done that even Archbishop Benjamin doesn't do, the epiclesis and so on was done very audibly and very consciously, and it was done in a participatory manner with the amens of the people, which I was very surprised at. This is my point, I think, of the whole talk, is that for some reason, without even thinking about it, if that were St. Basil's liturgy and not St. John Chrysostom's, they would have heard very clearly that the celebrant would have said right after that, and unite all of us to one another who become partakers in the one bread and cup, and so on. And that would have not in the slightest way, what's the word, help me here, pricked a consciousness of, gee, does that mean, maybe we should be, or something like that, like going to, like, does that mean what it says? That maybe the normal thing is to go to communion? And the answer is no, it does not. And I guess I don't have an answer to that, but that's my question today, is how come? Like, how do we manage to do that so easily? And besides, you're in charge here now of time, Mother, so
As far as I know, I've never been in charge of time.
Believe me, you don't want me in charge of time, because I've never owned a watch in all my life, so...
No, but seriously, one more question.
One more.
Maybe if you speed up going through the service, then...
We can talk more, yeah. Karim.
Yeah, I think this might be in course, and you can help us here. The challenges we have in our parishes, of most people, I think most people do not understand why we do things, like why we do the antiphons. And you mentioned about the sensing, I've seen like the liturgicon reference, like you can do the sensing before the physical reading, or after, but we have lost here the actual meaning of the worship. Because we're focusing so much, like if I move right or left, and our parishioners, most of the time, they have no understanding why the priest is doing this and that, so we don't have much education in the parish, because the focus sometimes, only we go on Sunday, and then we have only the ceremony, and then we go back home. And then we have the challenge of people come from different parishes, like why we do things, like A or B, and then, but not enough education at the parish level, I believe, as far as what is worship. And how can we actually, as believers, to improve, the worship level in the parish rather than just the exterior look, like people, we worship in a mission, and we get a comment, it's not a church. And they go to the large church, and they think it is a church. So it's, the meaning of the church have been lost. The actual translation of what the church means and in connection to the worship.
Well, so if I learned one thing from Father Alexander Schmemann, who had a lot to say about a lot of things, I would distill it into one comment that he would often have to say about a lot of those questions, he would say, what does the text say? Let's start with that. Like, well, just what does it say? And he would always mention that with the Basils and Amphora. Like, what does that say? And if you're rationalizing yourself around that, like, why and how, and that applies, I guess, to a lot of things. But what does the text say? What are we actually saying? You know, that's what spawned Vladika Arseny's comments. You know what his pet peeve was? And we don't do this anymore. This is topic from another time. How liturgies evolved during my lifetime. How about that? I could just speak from 1952 on to now. It's evolved a lot. A lot of people that have ideas about the good old days in the 1950s, a typical liturgy in the Metropolia was after the Great Litany, a few short verses from Psalm 102, and the Little Litany, and then Glory Now and Ever, and a very fancy choral arrangement of Only Begotten Son. And then the Beatitudes would be sung until the entrance was made. And when the priest was making the entrance, when he got to the royal doors, the choir would stop, and he would say, "Let us pray to the Lord." And then the choir would sing, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." And they would end that. And I could go on and on and on with things like that. And then I didn't grow up in the great Russian tradition. I remember the first time I couldn't believe it, like Vladika Arseny. The reader came out in the middle of the church and with the epistle book and got a blessing and came out and he said, "The prokimenon in the fourth tone," and the choir sang, "O Lord, I'm manifold of thy works and wisdom as thou made them all." And I'm thinking to myself, is that their fourth tone? What's the fifth tone? I came back next week. You know. "Thou, Lord, shall preserve us and protect us from this generation forever." You know, and that was Vladika Arseny's thing, by the way. He said, we don't lie in church. Like, if you say the fourth tone, you sing it in some kind of fourth tone, or say it. But it was not, or like Father Schmendel would have said, if you're going to do that, then don't say that. Like, just, don't, like, you can't do that. Don't lie in church. Like, if you're not going to do that, don't say anything. Just say the Pokemonon and read it and let the choir do their thing. But somehow, that's what I'm saying, it's easy for us to do stuff like that. But I wonder, how far does it carry? In other words, when we're able to not pay attention to what we're really saying or doing. Again, say what you mean what you say.
I just want to add something on one of the liturgical guides. We go like by the book, follow like number 1, 2. But even one of the bishops said with the same name, they use common sense in practicing the rubrics.
Yeah, common sense. Oh, wow. What a novel idea.
I don't know what that means. Yeah,
see? Yeah, right. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, welcome.